Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Stolz, and welcome to our Sunday worship. For those who have TLH, I will be using a brief order of page 5. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on His name He gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall ever be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee. We glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. God, who by the humiliation of Thy Son did raise up the fallen world, grant unto Thy faithful ones perpetual gladness, and those whom Thou hast delivered from the dangers of everlasting death, do Thou make partakers of eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let us confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 12. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our readings for this Sunday morning, the first one, is found recorded in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 10. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. So far. This morning's Gospel, St. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, which is the basis for my sermon. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the middle and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of those nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the middle and said, Peace be unto you. And then he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. And then Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So far. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, doubt is nothing new, and nothing is more natural than for humans to doubt. Even with this strange virus going around, people doubt whether the government is really telling us the whole story. Well, this is a crude way of leading us into this morning's gospel, even though we do know the whole story. As you know, Thomas wouldn't believe the report of Christ's resurrection. He wanted proof. And he wanted this proof on his own terms, otherwise he would not believe. It's not that Thomas didn't love the Lord, not that he went around looking for religious truth to challenge, but he was a realist. He wasn't afraid to face the facts, no matter how unpleasant they might be. For him, there were no easy answers. Life was real, pain and death were real, and dead people simply do not come back from the grave, no matter how much they might be missed or loved. As we know, the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas was absent, and that he wanted some real down-to-earth proof. As a matter of fact, he said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of those nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." It seems like every year when we read about this declaration of disbelief, perhaps we shudder a little, because Thomas is really a spokesman for all of us in some way. It would be a rare person who has never said about any part of the Christian truth, "If only I could have some proof, how much stronger my faith could be." But you see, God doesn't work this way. Our seeing a resurrected body is as unlikely today as it was then. And doubt is as natural for us as it was for Thomas. Unfortunately, Thomas has acquired the nickname Doubting Thomas, as if he were the greatest doubter in the world, that doubt was his greatest attribute. But as we know, there is nothing spectacular about his doubt or any doubt. Doubt goes back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan cast doubt into the mind of Eve. And from doubt leading to disbelief and then to disobedience, mankind fell. In the same way, it's nothing new that you and I, that any Christian today, should have doubts. But at the same time, we don't want to play it down as if it doesn't really matter, as if there is nothing wrong with doubting, because there is. Doubting can lead directly into disbelief and disobedience. Doubt can make some people go looking for religious proof where God supplies none. And when the proof cannot be found, doubt causes some to throw up their hands and their faith in despair. Remember the words of Jesus: "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." But this does not mean that God simply leaves us hanging to work out our own confidence by trial and error the best we can. Even though Jesus does not appear to us suddenly behind locked doors as he did to Thomas, he does come to us in the full assurance of his truth in other ways, in the means of grace, the Word, and the sacrament. John knew the power of God to work through the printed page of his Word when he wrote the end of our text, how Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, the Bible is a book of life because it leads us to a deeper faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Likewise, through the sacraments, our Lord calls us into life with God. Our baptism is a rite of commitment to Jesus Christ. Because of the life and the death and the life again of Jesus Christ, God opens those doors to us and calls us his children by this working of rebirth and renewing power of his Holy Spirit. It is by baptism, too, that we are brought into the Holy Christian Church. You see, our life of faith is not a private matter between us and God alone. It is a life in connection and communion with hundreds, thousands, millions of fellow believers. As I said before, our Lord doesn't normally appear to us in his body as he did to Thomas, yet in Holy Communion he comes very near to doing just that. In, with, and under these elements, our Lord offers himself to us for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of our all too often wavering faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. May the blessing of a faith that believes without seeing be ours in this life, that we may rejoice when we behold him face to face in the life to come. Amen. We return to our hymnal, page 14, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, and to thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word as becometh it may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. I was asked to remind you that there will be no voters' meetings as long as we are under these restrictions, okay? That's the only announcement that I have.